Episode 225, December 28th, 2015.
The following program is brought to you by More Broadcasting. For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show. Now on
with
the
countdown. With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Well, I feel like we've done this already tonight, Joe. Pull back the curtain. We started our show 7:30 Monday night live, and 35 minutes in, realized that we hadn't hit record. So,
but I also one thing I want to say, and this is for my brother. This is how you react when somebody else screws up, the way that I'm reacting right now.
Ooh, this is gonna get tense now. No, Robbie, he screwed up. It's the only time he's ever done that in 200 plus shows. It happens. So we're just starting over. It's gonna be a quicker show because now our schedule isn't working out. But frankly, I didn't really care for what we'd already recorded or what we thought we recorded.
Oh, really? You didn't? I like those Christmas stories.
Well, you can retell them, Joe. I didn't think there was any moment there that was so amazing that we could.
Well, no, I think that a lot of them happened at Gramps' expense, so I'm not going to make him hear them again. I think it'd be too hard.
No. There's Gramps stories out there. We can't say that there was Gramps stories. They're great, and then not tell them.
All right. Well, I'll tell them again right now.
Yeah. So this will be a quick, half hour show probably, but we'll pack it in. No break, straight through. How about that?
Perfect.
All right. Merry Christmas to everyone. My Christmas, uneventful. Joe, yours had a few more events. Do tell.
Yeah, well, the first thing I said was the only thing that I got for Christmas was a tie. I literally went to a Christmas where there were hundreds of gifts, wrapping paper everywhere, people jumping up and down about their gifts, and I took my one gift and I put it in my pocket and it looked like I had come there just as I left.
How many people were at this get together?
Well, how many people were there, Robbie? 20?
Roughly.
If I had said beforehand, over under on your gifts, 3.5, what do you bet?
I probably would have said under, but I would have thought 3.
So 2.5, you bet the over and you're confident.
Of course, yes. You know, you're going to get a little something from somebody, you know, maybe a card, maybe some chocolate, you know, maybe, you know, something like that. But no.
Did you get any cards?
No cards.
So you have no card and one tie. That's all you
I'm
got.
Looking at the tie right now.
All right. That's hilarious to me. See, that was funnier than when you told it 20 minutes ago. Much better.
Yeah.
Now.
And of course, Robbie, he brought, and it's weird because I'm always wondering, like, why do people want to come to this? So this is our Christmas, our family's Christmas. Would you want to be meeting somebody for the first time on their Christmas? You imagine walking into somebody's house as they're celebrating Christmas. Hi, I'm Rob. I've never met you before. I'd like to watch you celebrate your Christmas.
Actually, I would. That sounds fun to me.
Well, by the way, They were very, very. That guy was pretty funny, Robbie. Is he a doctor?
No, he's a former government employee, retired.
Whatever. That guy's very funny, and I really enjoyed his company. Robbie's girlfriend's aunt was there. She doesn't really know a whole lot of the language.
Right.
And she was there. As a matter of fact, when she walked in, she walked right up to Gramps and says, "You look like the Santa Claus." I'm not sure. My father was, he was gracious, but I can't imagine he liked that.
That's well, I think that's look. Meant to be a compliment.
Maybe, but I don't think people try to look like Santa Claus so they can get chicks. It's definitely a look that I don't feel like it would be helpful in that area. Yeah. By the way, I don't think my father looks like Santa Claus. He doesn't have long hair. He's bald. He doesn't have a flowing beard. He just has white hair.
I can see her saying that.
But yeah, but she said, "You look like the Santa Claus." But fast forward a little bit in the night. This was the skin crawl moment for me. But my father cornered this woman in the, it's your girlfriend's aunt, right, Robbie?
Yes, correct.
Cornered her in one of the smallest areas in the house where you are right up against one another. He bends down. He puts his finger under her chin. Super invasive, right? To put your hand on somebody's face.
Yeah, that's weird.
And he says, "I haven't seen you smile one time. I'm not letting you out of here until I see a smile." And it sounds like he wants to hold her some sort of against her will.
The smile hostage.
Right. And she musters the most uncomfortable, awkward smile you'll ever. And I'm just, my skin is just, I run. I can't watch any more of it. Who knows? I thought she might have left there in tears, but Robbie said she liked it, right, Robbie?
She loved him.
Well, maybe that in their culture, there's some sort of subservient that she's accustomed to.
If you give someone a gift, Joe, and they open it and they make that smile, what do you think?
Oh, I know they hate it. They hate the gift. It's like getting 50 cent cologne, which is what. Okay, so just to try to, I'll be brief because we already told the story in the unrecorded version. But
yeah,
there's a young man that I have a relationship with. He lived in my neighborhood when I was young and lived in Glen Burnie. He was a little kid. And
this,
you know,
is sounding very, very
good. Doesn't matter. Hey, people can think whatever they want to think. But this kid used to come over to my house and we used to play video games and everything. And he's been a part of my life for the last, you know, I mean, he's 31 years old now. I mean, I've known him since he was, you know, 7 years old.
It's practically family.
And of course, my parents got him a gift. They got him 50 cent cologne. Now he's a black man, and I found that to be hilarious that they went out, found some cologne for it. It happened to be a rapper's cologne.
You can get it for $12 at fragrance.com.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they paid for it. Maybe they got there's a better version of it.
Oh, I'll bet they paid. I'll bet that had a two at the front.
What do you think if they probably bought it on Amazon or something. But if you go to like Macy's or JCPenney, Nordstrom, if you're the person that works there and your Gramps comes in asking for 50 cent cologne, I mean, that's got to be hilarious to you.
Of course it's hilarious. It's hilarious, and it's just as hilarious as it was when he opened it up and I saw that he got. Now, one thing, the next Christmas he went to, he got Jay-Z cologne. So he left. Now his I think he got this at his now fiance. They got engaged this Christmas. His fiance's Christmas, also white. So that family got him Jay-Z cologne. My family got him 50 cent cologne.
What's worse, getting him the Jay-Z or 50 cent cologne, or giving him like Friday on Blu-ray?
It's the same, right? There's no difference.
What if you got, I guess that would be the equivalent, right? Like, if you got some book like Malcolm X biography, I mean, that wouldn't, would that be worse, or would that be, look, I'm trying to, it's an educational gift.
Well, so you look at any particularly black stereotypical gift, right? That's hilarious. And then, right. And then those gifts are also in varying degrees of hilariousness, right? I mean, what if they got him a FUBU sweatshirt? That'd be funnier than the 50 cent cologne, correct?
That would be funny. What's worse, FUBU sweatshirt or 12 Years a Slave?
Well, 12 Years a Slave would be, I mean, that'd be pretty hilarious. That'd be funnier than FUBU.
Yeah, that could get uncomfortable. I mean, that's, I don't know. What are you trying to say in that gif? Like, don't forget. I mean, I don't know. What would be the message from the white family giving it to the their black son-in-law. Well, good for James. I'm glad he's going to smell good this year.
It smelled pretty good. No lie. We put some on, and I'm not just saying that. It was a very clean smell. You know, some of those colognes are like kind of overpowering. This one was good.
If you had to have a rapper's cologne, who would you want in history?
I guess I would want Biggie.
No, hey, that why? He's huge and fat. You'd want Biggie?
Well, I mean, his cologne doesn't smell like him. It smells like a scent he would wear.
No, but I'm thinking of someone that would dress well and take care of themselves. I think would have a more sophisticated taste. And
all right, well, who would you pick?
MC Hammer. Those pants. Maybe Tupac. I mean, he seemed like he got chicks. I mean, so, Will Smith probably is going to smell the best.
So I'm not buying Will Smith cologne.
Why not?
He's a bigger shill nationally than I am in the local comedy scene.
So that was, I guess, does that wrap up the Christmas? Oh, yeah, that's right. The Christmas card. We have that story to tell.
Yeah, I got a couple stories. So, yeah, I'm going to Katie's parents' house for Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, I've met them now. I think this is maybe like the fifth time that I've met them. They like me. Sure. Right. I mean, you know, everything's going well. It's going smoothly, but still, I'm still in the impression making. That's still where I am.
Well, you can't get any younger, Joe. So let's face it. There's
right. So that's the best peak I can do. Dye my beard and show up and be charming. That's all I can do. So I get them a gift certificate, a gift card to Bonefish Grill. It's a restaurant they like.
Sure.
And I get them a card. The card says on it something like wishing you a Merry Christmas. Well, I don't want to just write Joe. So I write Happy Holidays in there. And when I start to write it, I write happy, H-O-L, and I start to write a D. And I realize, well, no, there's an I is the next letter. But, of course, now I've gotten the first part of the D too close where I can't either put the I and the bottom part of the D is not going to fit.
Right.
But I can't give them this card with a scratch out on it. I can't, you know what I mean? I can't have a misspelling. So I bold it. And actually sent you a picture of it, so if you want to post it, you can.
I will. I'll post it.
But, of course, I told the story to Katie, and Katie goes right to her mom and says, hey, here's what happened. She's like, oh, I just thought he was, you know, retarded.
See, you told me this, and I don't think it's – I mean, it's obvious that you did something because it gets – the letters get all bolded, that you'd messed up somewhere. But – You, because I said I would scratch something out and start over, but you think that's the worst thing you can do.
You wouldn't have scratched it out the fourth time you met Tawana's family.
I don't know. To be honest, I would say half the time I write a card, I make an error, and I scratch it out.
Half the time?
No, I'm not kidding. I mean, I have horrible handwriting. So sometimes it's me writing it and then trying to make it neater, and then I make it worse, so then I scratch it out. It's not like it's not misspellings. It's me just writing something stupid.
Really, I was panicked. So maybe you're more secure with yourself than I am.
What are they going to do, Joe? You think that's going to be the tipping point?
Oh, this no, but guy I don't want them saying
our daughter's age, but he spells weird.
Yeah, I don't want them to be like, God, look at this guy. It'd be one thing if she was dating an older guy and it was the owner of Virgin Mobile. But it's this guy can't even spell holiday, right? So, I mean, you understand, I still want to appear, you know, like I got my stuff together. Right. And not being able to spell the word holiday doesn't give that impression.
Well, no,
Gramps says, don't you guys have white?
No, I agree you can't have a misspelling, but I think scratching something out and just starting over isn't the end of the world.
No, you can't have an X on there. Gramps said, don't you guys have white out? Can you imagine...
No.
Putting white out on a card. I mean, it's not like you can't see that something was whited out.
All right, you have the four options. You have a misspelling, an obvious you've bolded over to change a letter, a scratch out and start over, and a white out. I think that the white out might be the worst. No, the misspelling is one. The white out, two.
The X is three. The bold is four. The best scenario, obviously, is a brand new card, but I didn't have that option.
Yeah.
Can I just say JL's comment in chat earlier?
Sure.
What's that?
He said, best producing all year by Robbie was forgetting to record that podcast.
Yeah, you need us to quit reading chat, Robbie. That's, you know, Robbie reads chat, and then that becomes the impression that everyone is having when all these people are literally in there only to shit on what we're doing.
But it's funny. You got it. That's a good line. Hey, check out JL. What's his website? Is it jlcomedy.com or is it jlcovan.com? Or just follow him on Facebook. I'm on his top 10 episodes of the year of his list of The Righteous Prick. So check out his blog. You can read all about it. And just, you should listen to all 10 episodes and see if you agree with him. I'm going to get his website right.
Where did he say he had you number two?
No, I think I was number four. Maybe I was five. He's right there in chat. I'm afraid to look at it. Yeah,
yeah, it's jlcomedy.com.
Yeah, or jlcovan.com, but nobody can spell that stupid last name.
One more Graham story. Can I tell it about him getting in early to the...
Yeah, tell it.
Yeah, so at Christmas, my father comes up to me and says, hey, we have tickets to the show tomorrow. Make sure you get us a good seat. I said, Dad, listen, that's stressful time. I can't... Please don't give me that job. Just show up on time and you'll get a fine seat. You know what I mean? Even if it's sold out, you'll be in line early and there'll be a seat for you.
Right.
So then I said, Robbie, make sure Dad gets in, right? So fast forward to that night. The doors open at 6:45. Around 6:30, in walks my father, my stepmother, my brother, his girlfriend, the aunt who he made smile, and the friend who's the former government employee. Six people are walking in about 15 minutes early to a showroom that is unopened. How did that happen? Well, my father proudly went into the bar that's attached and said, I'm Joe Robinson's dad. Whisk me in before everybody, right? So, of course, he's whisked in.
All right. And by the way, there's a sold-out show. There's literally a line around the building.
Yeah, if you go on Rob's Facebook page, you see a picture of this line which is wrapped around the building to get in here. And by the way, I don't mind my father getting preferential treatment, but wait till the doors open. I mean, no one is in the showroom. It is an empty showroom except for one table that has six people in it. That's my family. So of course,
no one serving. There's no one.
There's nobody doing anything. They're preparing for the day. So Andrew walks in. Andrew is the owner of the Magoobies. He walks in. He sees six people sitting in there, and he says to me, who the fuck are those people? Of course, I go, that's my family, Andrew. I'm so sorry, right? He goes, well, I'm going to have my meeting. Now, of course, you know, Andrew's right. I shouldn't have people in the showroom prior to the show starting.
Of course not.
But they've already announced my name in the bar, so I can't distance myself from there anymore. So anyway, so now I have to literally walk up to my family and say, guys, I need you to leave the showroom until he has his meeting with his staff, and then you can come back in. So not only do I feel bad that I'm telling my family, who I love, that they have to leave, but also Andrew thinks that I'm somebody who feels like I can just, oh no, I'm Joe Robinson. Here, come sit wherever you want, whenever you want. You understand what I'm saying?
And Robbie's girlfriend's aunt probably thought she was getting kicked out for not smiling. What did she think? Like, what's happening? We're sitting, now we're leaving.
Did she even know what was going on, Robbie, when she had to move back and forth from these seats?
Yes, my girlfriend was interpreting for her.
Okay,
Did she think that she was... You ever see Goodfellas when they're walking through the kitchen, or Swingers when they're walking through the back? Is that how you guys felt? Because in those movies, they were actually important people. That's the reason that they were given that preferential treatment.
Well, for this show, we're important. I mean, it's our show. We created this thing. And big ups to Magoobies for giving us a Saturday night. Thank you, Andrew. Sold it out. 350 people, our biggest crowd ever, probably our best show ever. We got to see Merle Rogers. She's a listener of the show, who I met actually in Pennsylvania when I did the comedy show with the Horrible Magician. She and her husband drove down. That was awesome. She got a nice front row seat to see me do my dance. And people have been asking, because a few weeks ago, Joe, you came on here and blasted me and talked about how shitty my dancing is, and I'm probably a horrible lover. All things are true. And so we're going to actually show the video of the rehearsal of me dancing so poorly. And then we have video of the final product from the other night. And you can see my progress. I'm still the worst one, right? But it's not horrible anymore.
No, it's not horrible. Your kicks are so awful.
Yes. But at least they were the rhythm was right. They were on beat.
Yeah, they were on beat. The hip swivel is weak.
Okay.
The kicks are weak.
Oh yeah, they're weak. Yeah.
But other than that, I mean,
but they were the right direction.
They were the right direction, and when you guys do that fan move where everybody, you know, looks like a dominoes falling effect, that's perfect. When you guys do the hop, people loved it. That was the best part of the show for the audience. They were screaming and yelling and hooting and hollering.
Yeah, big ups to Eric Woodworth, who plays sort of a drunken Santa who continues to take off his clothes and ends up half naked by the end for just really doing some great physical comedy. At one point, he walks out. He has a drink in his hand, and he's just, you know, making noises. And then he takes a drink off of a server's, what do you call it?
Tray.
Tray. That's about to go to a customer, and he just takes it and starts drinking it. The guy was like, what the fuck? It was so funny. But thank you to Andrew. We've been, you know, asking for a weekend, and we have some plans in 2016 to possibly have a joint Justin Schlegel headlining half the weekend, and the other half is the murder mystery. So things are looking up.
That's going to be cool. Yeah, we'll be. It looks like we're going to get a Friday, Saturday, right, with that other show. So if you want to see us, that should be around Memorial Day, right?
Well, that's the plan. Hopefully, we're definitely doing one April 3rd. That's a Sunday. We have two ideas that were. I guess we could tell them right what they're going to be.
Sure.
We have two things that we're working on. One is a karaoke themed parody of music shows, The Voice, American Idol, called Sing for Your Life. And the other one is a superhero themed one where you're at a Hall of Fame induction of a superhero. And so we'll be making up superheroes, essentially. So one for people that like to sing and one for the nerds. So that covers all bases, I think.
Some nerds like to sing. So Robbie will.
Yeah.
He'll like both.
Speaking of nerds that like to sing, you, Robbie, have been invited back into your Bachelor fantasy game. If you remember, you do this thing. You love The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. You actually have been in fantasy leagues for this horrible show that I also watch. And you got kicked out last time because they thought you cheated, that you looked at a website that had spoilers.
Yes, they wouldn't let me play last year.
Yes, and by the way, I believe that you did. And so does Joe's former roommate, Phil, also.
Is it more likely that Robbie cheated at the Bachelor game or that I stole the guns?
Well, you're both criminals to me, so I think it's more likely that Robbie cheated. I don't think he meant to. I think he accidentally went to this website, then saw it, and then that was in the back of his head.
Oh, no. The way I crushed, I would have had to have made a concerted effort.
Okay. We'll see, Robbie. They've let you back in. Do they have to have a vote or something? Do they talk about it?
Yeah. And some people actually defended me. I was shocked that I actually had some defenders, some people who thought I wasn't guilty.
Would it be in your best interest to not win this year?
Yeah. But listen, if I was cheating and I really want, if it was that important to me to win, I would just cheat again.
Yeah.
There are also there's no payoff, right?
There's not a real, there's no monetary prize. It's just for bragging rights.
Can you imagine doing something for no money? Jesus, weird.
We're going to announce this on this show. Lemmy from Motorhead, frontman, died. He just died, 70 years old.
Oh.
Now, by the time this airs, everyone will know, but
yeah.
Robbie might have forgot to record this anyway, so who knows what people are going to hear.
I got a text from Michael Chamberlain yesterday saying, now, mind you, I don't hear from Michael for weeks. I get a text, Haskell Wexler has died.
Who is God, Haskell Wexler.
Haskell Wexler. Who is Haskell Wexler, you ask? He's a famous cinematographer. He was in his 90s.
He's famous, because there's no such thing as a famous cinematographer. Anyway,
if you can't name Oscars. One of whatever this profession is, then they're not famous.
Well, there's that guy that keeps dominating with the, I think he just did The Revenant and he did the space movie with Sandra Bullock. JL, no, he's a huge movie guy. He knows all about that shit.
Eric announced another death.
There's another death?
Yes, Meadowlark Lemon.
Yes, Meadowlark Lemon.
People don't know this. People keep talking about Meadowlark Lemon, but the truth is, you know, Meadowlark Lemon and the Globetrotters had a falling out.
Yeah, is there like a 30 for 30 on that? One of those ESPN things? There should be, right?
Yeah, and he created the Bucketeers. You remember that, Robbie? It was a rival to the Globetrotters.
Mm-hmm.
And so he created his own, you know, team. And I remember seeing them on like Wild World of Sports. But it since the only name on the Bucketeers was Meadowlark Lemon, they quickly
that can't be his real name. Can it?
I don't know why. I don't know why he changed it, but I guess Meadowlark.
Do you think he went by Meadow or Meadowlark or Lark?
Went by Meadowlark. And then George, he threw a bucket of confetti on you.
George Meadowlark Lemon. So George.
What's your favorite Globetrotters gag? What's your favorite? The bucket of confetti or the basketball on the string?
Oh, the bucket of confetti. Yeah, that's just. You've seen them, right? I went to the Cap Center a few times.
Yes, I have. As a matter of fact, I still have a program from seeing and Curly was still on the team at the time.
This wasn't in the show, the part of the show that didn't get recorded. This is all new stuff, new Meadowlark Lemon stuff. but Scott Applewood said to you that he wants to get into this fantasy bachelor thing. So I think amongst the four of us, the three of us and Scott, we will have our own who can pick the winner, essentially. Is it The Bachelor or Bachelorette that's coming up? Which one is it?
It's The Bachelor. It's the good one.
Okay. We also, by the way, have and that's another idea we have for a Bachelor parody-themed murder mystery. So look for that also.
Oh, I like it.
In 2016. Michael Chamberlain has agreed to, Eric the actor will be happy, he's agreed to do the rant. Is that correct?
I'll be recording it this week. I will remember to hit record.
Please, because Restivo's rant, huge hit. And so now Chamberlain, is he going to give sort of his own slant on it? Has he listened to it? Do you know his strategy?
I'm not going to give him any coaching. I'm just going to let him read into it what's there on the page.
Now, since Chris sent the rant in, and since we played his voicemail message, he now keeps sending me things that he wants played on the show. Do you want to play the thing that I sent you, the end of it, or not?
I don't want to, but I will.
Okay. Well, can I just set up? You're just going to play the end, correct?
The very end, last 19 seconds.
He sends me this thing making fun of Dave Schoffer, who none of you know. If you're local to the comedy scene, you do know. We've mentioned his name a few times, but there's no reason to play that because it makes no sense on this show. But I thought the end was especially funny where he talked about, well, just play it, Robbie.
It was great to patch things up, Rob and Joe, and I want to wish a Merry Christmas to the listeners also, and a Happy fucking New Year. Also, Joe, I am not trying to fuck your ex-wife anymore. I was thinking about that. That would have been kind of weird. I'm not into religion also.
Oh, God, he's
so is that a load off that he's not trying to? Who? By the way, your ex-wife came for the murder mystery looking gorgeous, by the way.
No, she's great. Yeah, no, that was a lot of fun to have her there. She really enjoyed herself. And, you know, it was nice that she did that. I wish Restiva was there so he could have taken a shot at it, but who knows?
He could have taken a picture of that.
Actually, Restiva, sorry. I knew Restiva wasn't going to be there because he took the time to write in the invite that he couldn't make it because he would be at the Millstream Christmas party.
The Facebook event page, yes. So we missed you. So that's good to know that he's no longer after your ex-wife. So that's, you'll sleep better at night.
Anymore,
that.
He said.
Right? Anymore. Yes. All right. We can't do a gun update because it's getting too real.
I'm innocent.
You're innocent. I'm headed to Turkey for New Year's Eve. And we started the show with this when we thought it was recorded. And it wasn't, so now we'll just read it at the end. A couple new comments on our iTunes page. Please like, give us 5 stars, subscribe. This one, oh God, yes, yes, yes. Every episode is an eargasm for me. Listen long and hard. A lot of sexual stuff there. From Crown Pointer 34. That's got to be a chick, right?
No.
Well, either way, it's turning me on. And then for our listener of the year, Megany Mac Bergson, who had the great pleasure of meeting Marcus Herta this past week, says, as my time as listener of the year comes to an end, I feel like it's time to update my review. While there are parts of the first couple years of the show that I miss, the current version of the show is better than ever. If you like comedy, or even if you like to laugh, this is the podcast for you. Every week I find myself having to stop what I'm doing at work and replay a part. I usually listen to every episode twice, but what sets Rob and Joe apart from other shows is that just when you think it is a big bag of yucks, something will happen that will tug at your heartstrings. In a recent episode where Joe and Robbie got into an argument, Gramps showed a level of humanity that you don't find in other podcasts. I listen to about 10 to 15 podcasts a week, and Rob and Joe are always my favorite. Thank you, Rob, Joe, Robbie, Marcus, Eric, Tommy, Katie, Tawanda, Tim, Captain Cupcake, and most importantly, Gramps.
That's yeah, as a matter of fact, Miggity Mac went on Facebook and said I was the least his least favorite character on the Rob and Joe, on the Rob and Joe show. Behind everyone you just mentioned, including the guy who Robbie disclosed who wrote the outro music, and he said that that guy was above me as well.
Yeah, well, that guy's amazing. And the outro music that we will be keeping. So Mac references that his time as Listener of the Year comes to an end. Does that mean we need to have a new one?
Well, can we vote?
All right, well, who would the – I mean, you could – I mean, Eric the actor is obviously, you know, a loyal listener, but we don't like him.
Yeah, it would be Eric the actor, Captain Cupcake, who now comes in as a different name every time, yeah, Gramps. What about Katie?
Well, they're just a part of the show. They're not. They can't. They're not a listener. I mean, a listener is someone that's their relationship with us is listener first. I think.
What about Merle? Merle the Pearl. She drove Merle Rogers. Merle Rogers. She drove an hour to come see us perform at the Murder Mystery.
I drove 2 hours, and I vote no.
Wow.
That's this, right. I forgot yeah, she hates
this,
you.
This was Merle said something about you on the Omericast, which makes me like her more.
All she said, Robbie, was what she hates when you talk. That's all.
Oh, you bad boy. What have you done?
And she's got a lovely voice, Merle.
Did you get to meet her?
No, I did not get to meet
her. That's too bad for both of you.
Would it have been awkward if you did?
No. I would have given her a big hug and put my finger under her chin.
You look like the Santa Claus.
She said, you've been smiling the whole time. Can I see a frown?
Well, maybe we'll figure out who the listener of the year will be. I'm off to Turkey for New Year's Eve at Incirlik Air Base in Adana, just an hour and a half flight from Istanbul, if that gives you any frame of reference. About
somebody the in the chat has, I got Rob in the death pool.
Nice. Yeah, well, I am going to Turkey, so probably a good bet. I think that covers it. January 7th, Murder Mystery back with the last lap, the first one we've ever done. And we're doing it the first time at the DC Improv, which is...
And then I'll be at Magoobie's the next two nights, Friday and Saturday.
It's a big weekend. Danny Ruye from 106.7 The Fan will be on the Murder Mystery as well. Rob Spiewak from the Mike O'Mara Show. DCImprov.com. That's a Thursday night. Check it out. Congrats to show announcer Tim for crushing Joe Robinson in our fantasy football finale.
Ouch.
Yep. Tim is the winner, worst team ever. And hey, one last thing. Two people walked out of the Murder Mystery Show at Magoobie's Saturday night because there were curse words. And Andrew didn't give them their money back, which I liked. He offered them tickets to a future show, but no refund. And I like this because this is our brand. We are not Dinner Theater Murder Mystery.
If that's yeah, I think those for, ladies thought had been to a murder mystery, the one that I saw originally, which was god awful. It was literally the worst thing I ever saw. And I think that's what they wanted.
Or a place that's like Death of a Salesman for 2 weeks, and then it's the death of Mr. Montgomery.
Yeah, that one was about, no lie, about maybe 15 to 20 minutes of actual content. Most of it was spent eating and deciding.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted. So and they paid less money to come see this. It's hysterical. There's maybe 25 minutes of downtime, intermissions, and while you decide who's the murderer is. And they didn't like that because you said a bad word.
I'm imagining if they had stayed because it got real bad. I mean, Justin describing the ways he had sex with one of the characters.
It was the dirtiest show we'd ever had.
Yeah, well, that's what Magoobies wants. That's Baltimore for you. Hey, everybody, have a happy new year. Do you guys have plans, Joe, Robbie?
Yeah, I'm thinking about going to the beach.
Robbie?
Yeah, I'm not doing anything.
There you have it. That's how we roll. Happy new year, guys. See you 2016. Maybe we'll record the whole show this time later.
Later.
The preceding program was brought to you by Moore Broadcasting. For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.